Welcome to the Sunshine Nutraceuticals podcast with your host, pharmacist Michael, where you learn everything about happy, healthy living. Now, here's your host, pharmacist Michael.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sunshine Nutraceuticals podcast. This is episode number 8. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about fibromyalgia. I'm going to talk mostly about prescription drugs in this podcast, but I will tell you that Sunshine Nutraceuticals does have a couple of products that can help you if you're suffering from fibromyalgia. One of them is the CBD gummies, and the other is the Ultra Joint Flex. So give those a try. And remember, you can find them at sunshinentc.com. Use the code PODCAST. PODCAST to get 10% off your entire order. And shipping in the United States is always free. So let's get on to fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is a disorder affecting about 2% of the world's population. It's characterized by musculoskeletal pain occurring throughout the body. Patients with this condition may also suffer from fatigue, mood problems, memory issues, headaches, anxiety, depression, and sleep disturbances. Fibromyalgia is a chronic disorder with subjective symptoms, making diagnosis difficult. At present, fibromyalgia cannot be diagnosed based on objective data, which means that we don't have any lab values that can tell us whether you have fibromyalgia or not. It's all based on ruling out other disorders and your symptoms. This disorder has previously been thought of as a diagnosis to use when symptoms did not fit any other condition. Some physicians are still unsure whether this is an actual disorder. Patients may become depressed or frustrated due to the lack of compassion from various caregivers. Previously, many physicians believed patients were using fibromyalgia as an excuse to obtain pain medications. We are now finding that changing one's lifestyle may be more effective than drugs. And remember, with the oxycodone crisis, it's very difficult to obtain narcotics at this point. So this has made this problem even worse for some people. What do we think causes fibromyalgia? The exact cause remains a mystery. It's most likely due to several factors. We believe some of them are genetics. Fibromyalgia is more prevalent in people who have genetic relatives with the disorder. This makes us think that it may be due at least partially to a genetic mutation. It may be caused by trauma, could be emotional or physical. We know that in some cases, fibromyalgia occurs after the person sustains an injury or experiences emotional stress. Victims of child abuse have a higher incidence, as do those with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. The brain may react differently to stress and pain in these individuals, which may explain this link. Could possibly be due to mood disorders. Individuals with any mood disorder, including anxiety and depression, are more likely to suffer from fibromyalgia. We know that women have a higher incidence, 3 to 1, over men. This may be due to a difference in how women react to pain or society's expectation of how women should respond to pain. A sedentary lifestyle could also be a cause. People who don't exercise are much more likely to suffer from fibromyalgia. Exercise is one of the main treatments. There is some thought that fibromyalgia may be the result of the body's overreacting to pain signals. This could be due to an imbalance of neurotransmitters in the brain. Even weak signals may be perceived as pain if this is true. The main obstacle in determining fibromyalgia's cause is the fact that most people with this disorder also suffer from other conditions. Many have rheumatoid or osteoarthritis, migraine headaches, various mood disorders, and other maladies that cause pain. It is challenging to separate fibromyalgia from these coexisting conditions. A large number of the studies conducted on this subject have a small sample size, or patients are lost to follow-up. More well-designed studies are needed to determine the causes of this debilitating condition. Now let's talk about some medications that can be used to treat fibromyalgia. One of my favorites, if you're going to use a prescription drug, is Cymbalta. And Cymbalta actually has some studies behind it. There was a meta-analysis done using data from the year 2000 until March of 2019 to determine the efficacy and proper dosage of Cymbalta. Cymbalta is duloxetine, and it's a serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. There were 7 studies that were looked at involving 2,642 fibromyalgia patients. The results showed duloxetine was more efficacious than a placebo for pain control in these patients. The study actually showed that duloxetine provided 26% better pain relief than a placebo. There were more adverse effects suffered by the duloxetine group, and withdrawal effects were more significant than those receiving 120 milligrams per day. The study concluded duloxetine was a great choice for the relief of pain in fibromyalgia patients. A study published in June of 2019 compared duloxetine with pregabalin. Pregabalin is Lyrica, and all subjects were women with fibromyalgia between ages 18 and 65. They were each assigned either duloxetine 30 to 60 milligrams per day or pregabalin 75 to 100 milligrams daily for 4 weeks. The widespread pain index was used to measure pain severity. This scale quantifies body pain by asking patients if they have pain or tenderness in 19 body regions. The higher the score, the more widespread the pain. Duloxetine was significantly better in improving the WPI score, with a mean difference of -2.32 when compared with pregabalin. The prevalence of nausea and the dropout rate was significantly higher in the duloxetine group as compared to the pregabalin group. So what this is telling us is, yes, Cymbalta is a great drug, and possibly even better than pregabalin, but you got to be careful of the side effects. Another thing I can tell you is coming off duloxetine is difficult. There was another Cochrane analysis published in 2018. This was a comprehensive study focusing on the efficacy of SNRIs on numerous fibromyalgia symptoms. This study concluded that only a minority of patients might benefit from treatments with duloxetine and milnacipran. Most patients will not gain relief from fibromyalgia symptoms, or they will experience adverse effects leading to drug discontinuation. There is no evidence to support the use of SNRIs such as venlafaxine or desvenlafaxine in the treatment of fibromyalgia. So you see, we do have differing opinions on the SNRIs for the treatment of fibromyalgia, but I'm still going to put my money on Cymbalta because I think overall it is a great choice for pain. So let's move to Lyrica and Neurontin. There was another review published on the effects of anticonvulsants on fibromyalgia. Since the lead author received financial support from commercial sponsors, this review has been withdrawn. This study was, however, listed as a reference in the European League Against Rheumatism, or EULAR, revised recommendations for the management of fibromyalgia. Pregabalin is listed as a pharmacotherapy for severe pain and severe sleep problems. Neurontin or gabapentin is not recommended in the treatment of fibromyalgia, according to EULAR. How about amitriptyline? There is evidence that amitriptyline can help with sleep, fatigue, and pain in fibromyalgia, but only at low doses. 5 reviews involving 919 subjects found that those receiving amitriptyline were 60% more likely to achieve a 30% reduction in pain. A moderate improvement in sleep and a small effect on fatigue were also shown. Why fenacin is an expectorant used primarily to loosen mucus in the airways. This helps the patient cough up the mucus and remove it from the body, leading to more effective breathing. Guaifenesin is sold under the popular brand name Robitussin. It is also available under the brand name Mucinex as a 12-hour tablet formulation. There is a protocol available online that promotes the use of guaifenesin in the treatment of fibromyalgia. I do not see any harm in trying this method if you suffer from fibromyalgia. Guaifenesin has a few side effects. It is important to note that this protocol states that salicylates of any kind must be avoided for guaifenesin to be effective. This includes aspirin and all topical salicylate formulations. A study conducted in May of 2009 used a telephone survey of 632 women to gain insight into the subjective pain relief obtained by several agents in the treatment of fibromyalgia. Of the women surveyed, 434 claimed to have fibromyalgia, while 198 denied having the condition. The women had an age range of 18 to 80 years. The results of this study showed that half of the fibromyalgia group were taking antidepressant medications. Tricyclic antidepressants had strong effectiveness, while serotonin reuptake inhibitors had only moderate effectiveness in treating fibromyalgia. Few were taking SNRIs at this time. Almost 30% of the fibromyalgia sample were taking nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs. I included this study because even though it was conducted in 2009, it showed that the most effective medications to treat fibromyalgia, according to the subjective reports of the patients, were opiate narcotics and guaifenesin. The narcotics aren't surprising, but guaifenesin is. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about kratom because I've been asked about this in the past. Kratom is a substance obtained from a tropical evergreen tree found in Southeast Asia. This substance has been used for centuries for improving stamina and increasing energy by workers in its native region. Kratom is available as a supplement in the U.S. People utilize it to treat diarrhea, pain, and to decrease the symptoms of opiate withdrawal. An anonymous national survey was conducted in 2016 in an attempt to discover the usage patterns of kratom in the U.S. This survey included 8,049 kratom users. It is known that kratom is used as an alternative to opiates. Fibromyalgia had the lowest proportions of significant improvement responses in this survey. This can be expected as opiates are not recommended as a treatment for fibromyalgia. Cyclobenzaprine, or Flexeril, is a muscle relaxant used for various musculoskeletal disorders. A systemic review of 312 patients taking cyclobenzaprine for fibromyalgia found 85% suffered side effects, and only 71% of the subjects were able to complete the study. This review concluded sleep was slightly improved, but pain was not. Cyclobenzaprine can be used for severe sleep problems in fibromyalgia. Trazodone is an antidepressant mostly used for sleep currently. This medication was not mentioned in the EULAR revised recommendations for the management of fibromyalgia. If other sleep recommendations fail, I would not be opposed to trialing trazodone. This drug is effective for sleep at low doses. Citalopram belongs to a class of drugs known as a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. 7 systemic reviews were conducted looking at this drug class for the treatment of fibromyalgia. These medications may have a small effect on pain and fatigue, but do not help with sleep. Since SNRIs discussed above are more useful for fibromyalgia, SSRIs are not recommended. The recommendations are that prompt diagnosis and patient education regarding the disorder are critical. The patient should be assessed for pain, level of function, and management should be geared towards improving the quality of life. Non-pharmacological treatment should be initiated first. These include physical therapy with an emphasis on individualized exercise. Other therapies such as acupuncture and hydrotherapy may also be tried at this stage. Psychological therapy should mainly consist of cognitive behavioral therapy. If depression and anxiety are severe, psychopharmacological treatment can be utilized. Recommendations for pharmacotherapy according to EULAR are as follows. Drugs that should not be used: strong opioids, sodium oxybate, corticosteroids, growth hormone. Drugs recommended for severe pain: duloxetine, pregabalin, and tramadol. Drugs recommended for severe sleep problems: low-dose amitriptyline, cyclobenzaprine, and pregabalin. I have attempted to review the most up-to-date medication treatments for fibromyalgia. I have included the recommendations from EULAR, as well as information on kratom, guaifenesin, and trazodone. I do not recommend the use of kratom at this time. I believe guaifenesin may have a benefit, and it has very few side effects. Trazodone is a good drug for insomnia at low doses, so it may be tried if other treatments fail. After researching this subject, it seems that exercise, hypnosis, guided imagery, and other non-pharmacological treatments are the preferred treatment of fibromyalgia. More research will surely be done on this subject, and hopefully we will obtain better treatments in the future.
Thank you for listening to the Sunshine Nutraceuticals podcast. Visit us today at www.sunshinentc.com. Have a happy, healthy life.